time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. We back. You already know what it is. Happy day before Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Yeah. Word. Happy Clean Your Turkey Day. Yeah, man. What's up with you, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. Winding it down, you know what I'm saying? Putting the finishing touches on 24, which has been a, you know, interesting, challenging year. You know, as y'all know, y'all been here with us all year. Yeah. We not at the end, but, you know, shit, we are entering the seasons of let's circle back in the new year.
it has begun.
Behavior.
Oh, man.
End of the budget. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
The fade out part of the song where you just hear the shit. You know what I mean? You still hear the drums, but them shits is getting
faint.
Yeah, softer and softer. You got to lean in.
Nigga start looking at that last little bit of the budget like, yeah, that's about it.
Niggas
hit you with them last minute sponsorship packages and shit. Hey man, we got this Basil thing. I know it's last minute. Like, nah, son, 24 is over.
Yeah, we done. You got to see me fiscal 25. And the fiscal don't start. The fiscal is off from the regular real year, so that could jam a nigga up.
Yeah.
I don't even know the actual I can't even pinpoint when the fiscal start, but I always remember the fiscal was not in line with what was going on. Sometimes you have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, because, I mean, as an entrepreneur in that space, you know, the fourth quarter taught me. Like niggas be saying, Yeezy taught me. Fourth quarter taught me. Unceremoniously. Nigga, if you ain't got your shit together by Thanksgiving, man, it's going to be rough, man. If you ain't collected them checks Thanksgiving or soon thereafter, you might not get them bitches to March. Because the corporate side, you know, them jokers, man. One, say you did a project in November or in October, right? Then you go through your little 30 days or whatever. It's about to be November. You start calling about your check. It ain't guaranteed that your corporate friend done put the shit in to accounting. You know what I'm saying? So not accounting, it's like, nigga, it's Thanksgiving. Shit. I'm on vacation. You know what I'm saying? So while Thanksgiving just a weekend, it's a mindset. You know what I mean? So then you call a nigga after Thanksgiving. You call a nigga the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. Give it a little time. Give niggas time to get back in town, settle in. And then they can be like, oh yeah, let me get that to you. Let me get that over there. You know what I'm saying? Boom. So say your invoice do hit, you know what I'm saying, accounting by the first week of December, right? But now accountant got all this shit backed up. They got to reconcile the year. They got to talk to their bosses about why they did good or why they did bad that year as far as the money, where the money at, how we going to do. Then they got to do budgets for 25, you know what I'm saying? So they trying to do all that shit. They ain't worried about your little outside little invoice, you know what I'm saying? You call, check in right before Christmas. Ah, man, yeah, I'm trying to push them now. Da da da. Then they get hit you with, yeah, but, you know, when you call, you know what I'm saying, I got it in, it's still not 30 days. Nigga, it was 30 days when I called. Yeah, but it wasn't 30 days for account. My bad. You know what I'm saying?
My bad. Nah.
So now them 30 days turn into January. You know what I'm saying? Half them niggas don't get back to January 8th, 9th. Man, that shit gonna be March. And that's just how it be, because niggas don't have that same pressure you got. You know what I mean? Niggas check come every 2 weeks. And they don't be thinking about you like you think about you. So you gotta be pressing and pushing to get that shit in before niggas disappear for the holidays. And that's that. And once I hit one of them holidays when checks ain't hit, niggas looking sick at you, nigga. It's Christmas. You know what I'm saying? We can't take our annual trip, nigga. You be trying to work it out and juggle and spin and do this, do that. And sometimes you can't get all the way there, man. That's when I learned I learned the power of joy. You know what I'm saying? During that era.
What's that? What's so, that mean?
You know, you ain't got shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't go nowhere for the holidays. You know what I'm saying? You got enough to survive and continue on, but you don't have that lump to, you know, spend, you know, mm-hmm. $8,000-$10,000 going somewhere. So you just sitting there. You know what I'm saying? Then I started thinking about, like, being in Miami during the holidays and WEDR, the black radio station. This was when it was black owned, too. They'll just start playing all that old Christmas music. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In my mind. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Once you get to in my mind, boy, you know, it's a different kind of feeling. You could be broke, but that joy right. started to kick in, right? And so I created a playlist of that shit. You know what I'm saying? I use it all the time. I use it every time. So at least it will feel like it. You ain't in the place where you usually would be, but to the kids, it feel like, you know what I'm saying, the energy is there. You know what I'm saying? And now to this day, you know, the hiatus season was coming. You know what I'm saying? Your team is feeling a little down. I ain't going to really be getting to it till the new year. Start playing that same Christmas music. It worked the same. I put that shit on in my office. Put on the goddamn fireplace from YouTube. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. The Yule log.
Yeah. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whichever one. It's one I like that got the little sounds in it. Some of it got music on it, so I don't want that. I want the one that just
with
sound
the crackle.
Like, yeah, with the crackle. Mm-hmm. Put that shit on and start feeling like it's a little warm in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I was playing the music, and then I was DJing that shit like some Miami shit. I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Welcome to the holidays. It's Mr. Muhammad Christmas. You know what I'm saying? From a nigga who don't celebrate Christmas, but I understand the joy.
The joy is transferable.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I understand the joy. I understand what it mean, man. So, shit, Mr. Muhammad Christmas.
And that works for the people or for you?
The people, they respond to that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It ain't a real thing, but for the moment, you know what I'm saying? Joy ain't but for right now, you know what I mean?
Right,
I'm learning to live right now, not in the future with a plan, all right, we're going to do this, da-da-da-da. It's just, okay, right now, press play, start pumping that shit up, man. Put on your fire, make people feel good, man. And shit, that's all you can do. You know?
Yeah.
And then you learn that's all you could do in regular life. You can't make people feel no kind of way, but you could try to bring a good energy to a situation that might not be good or might be perceived as not good. You might change a perception. But that's what I try to do. So happy holidays to the people from a nigga who don't even celebrate Christmas.
There you go. There you go. You might want to take that tail part off, but I mean, that makes sense.
It makes
happy
sense.
Holidays. Yeah.
Nigga, imagine going to the store and seeing a poster that say, Mr. Muhammad's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. That sounds like the name of the playlist.
Right. But that's saying what I said. You already know a nigga don't celebrate Christmas. Name is Mr. Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I understand the joy. I grew up in America. I grew up under the rules of all this shit. You know what I'm saying? I grew up having to not celebrate Christmas around everybody celebrating Christmas, getting gifts and shit. You know what I'm saying? And you got to sit there with, you know what I'm saying, crisscross applesauce like, wow, that's nice. That's nice. Ooh, that's nice. I wonder if I got me some. No, nigga, you ain't got nothing. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta play with everybody else shit. Okay, they got an Atari. We got an Atari for Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, niggas got new skates and shit. You just go out there and push while they skating.
Damn.
You know?
Damn. You didn't get what's the word? It's not a condolence. It's definitely not a condolence. What do they call that? What
is consolation
like? Consolation gift. You don't get a little consolation
grandma, some year she'll get me some socks. And they always be like, not the type of socks that you want, like them old football socks. Right. They don't be cotton. They be like polyester-like. have your legs sweating in Miami tights, you know what I'm saying? Them. I used to get them sometimes. Then at a certain point, you know what I'm saying, my pops tried to like, it was almost a scam, you know what I'm saying? It was a grown man, it was a grown up scam, you know what I'm saying? So it'd be like, yeah, I ain't got no money on your birthday, you know what I'm saying? Then your sister's birthday, come here, get us something. Then right around Christmas, he'll get you a little something, you know what I'm saying? So you'll have something right around that time. You're like, man, this is, I got ripped off. But you learn. So as somebody who didn't celebrate Christmas, you learned that people really felt happy about that era, you know what I'm saying? The certain songs on the radio, which is on my playlist, the energy is up. You be in the ghetto, you know what I'm saying? We in Brown Sub. But everybody felt up, man. That little tree, that little Charlie Brown tree was lit up, you know what I mean? And shit, every time everybody walked by, it's like, ooh, there's another box under there. Ooh, such and such got a big box. What's in there? You feel that excitement, even though it ain't for you. And that's just how life continued on. Like, even when somebody else doing well, you don't have to feel no kind of way about it because you ain't doing well. You could experience the joy and go on and add some of that joy to your next steps. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I learned it. But I ain't do it beyond just like my kids, you know what I'm saying? But now it's like that shit work for everybody. You know? So that's all.
Okay. I get it. I hear you. What plans you got? What plans you got for Thanksgiving? Anything?
I'm going to my mother-in-law house. We're gonna eat. I think they my wife has sworn against traditional Thanksgiving turkey and shit like that. So I don't know what the menu is finna all the way be.
But
here we go.
Yeah.
Shit.
I hear that.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring my speaker and my playlist.
I got two questions. One, before we get into the playlist, what do you Thanksgiving in non-traditional turkey and all of that, or no turkey whatsoever? Because I'm not mad at it. You know, the turkey is, you know, it's just more so the optics of it all. But first bite. What's on your fork? First Thanksgiving bite to set the tone to be like, this is Thanksgiving has now commenced. Bite number one, what is on that fork?
I don't know, without the traditional. See, that's the problem with a nigga not being able to see future-wise. You only could see the shit you've already known, you know what I'm saying? I could go down a list and say, oh, that would be nice. Oh, shit, a good, you know, roast might be nice or something. I don't know. But I really don't know.
Roast.
You know what I'm saying? I really don't know. I'm just saying shit off a list, you know what I mean? And if it work, it work. If it don't. But I really don't see what it could be.
So let me ask you this. To that point, I know you said the future shit. So added to that future list, so do you not get a taste for shit anymore? You know how people be like, damn, I got a kind of taste for some curry chicken. I got a taste for some pizza.
Only shit that I've had before. So, and that's not often. Yeah, only shit that I've had before.
Only shit that you've had before. Yeah, okay.
So like new shit, you know what I'm saying? I've learned that you just got to either try it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, again, when you start putting shit together and you can't see it in your mind, none of it feels like it's appetizer because it's just a bunch of words. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, Damien, I'm going to make you something savory and hearty, and it's going to be made out of beef. You like, nigga, what that mean? You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel.
Right.
Right. Okay, shit, nigga. So if it's something I've had before, usually you stick to those types of things, you know what I'm saying? Or if I got to pick lunch or some shit like that, I just go out, and then I'll just see something, and then, all right, I'm going to try that, and just try it. Right. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't.
Yeah. But I think even with something, having a taste for something, it's more often than not, it's something that you've had before anyway. So you have the taste for it. Like, yeah. I don't know if I've ever, you know,
had a taste for some shit I never had before. Like, I might want to try something I never had before, but it's not like, you know, damn, I got a taste for some fucking foie gras with a beef Wellington and a Bernays sauce.
Now I get what you're saying, but the element of, okay, so this is what happens, like, what the things that happen that you don't count on happening when it comes to not having future in your mix. So somebody might say, what you excited about? And I'm going to say nothing. Because, you know, once you start really looking at it, excitement has a small element of future. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
What you anticipate, that has a small element of future. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily have a taste for a lot of shit often. Like, even before this all happened, on Friday, I would have a taste for some seafood, fried seafood or some shit. Conch. Or whatever, you know, you can't get conch. You could get this, can't. I don't have that no more. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I think you underestimate the power of a little bit of future. You know what I'm saying? And that's a trip, because it's uncharted waters for somebody like me. Because that's, I just use my mind to create future shit. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, ooh, ooh. If I do this, if I do that, then bang. You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit, I'm going to give me some cunt. Nah, 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 I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Bang. You know what I mean? But that don't really pop into your head like that, because you dealing with right now shit all the time. So for regular people, they don't have to think about every step that they take. Is that going to land right? Oh, shit, I stumbled a little bit. Am I going to fall over? Am I close enough to the wall to grab something? You know what I'm saying? Like, while nobody would see that, that's what's going on in the nigga mind. You know what I mean? I'm walking down the street, oh shit, somebody came on purview. Oh, somebody behind me, that shit is throwing me off. I'm about to fucking fall. Let me let them pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, you too busy doing everyday regular shit to be thinking about, you know, what I got a taste for. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a trip. You know what I mean? Because it's like, when you get cognitive fatigue or whatever, you'll be thinking about shit, but you don't understand that your mind is thinking about so much other shit that it makes your mind tired. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't think about walking before. You just get up and walk. You know what I'm saying? You don't think about cooking. And see, when you think about cooking, you think about your food. For me, I got to think about, okay, the pan down here, the bowls up there, this shit in the refrigerator, this shit down there in the freezer. I'm going to be dizzy as fuck by the time I even get to all the fucking ingredients.
Wow.
See what I'm saying? Okay. So before you even start thinking about, all right, how I'm going to make this food, nah, you got all that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like that.
Nah, I get it. Well, damn, that kind of may even answer this next question that was somewhat related. Mm-hmm. You know, when you was talking about your holiday playlist, the joy playlist, I was going to ask you, you know, when you're in the middle of some playlist curation, how long does it typically take you? And now that I'm thinking about it, does this affect playlisting? You know what I mean? Because there's a little bit of future in that. Like, have you made a play? I mean, I guess you made a playlist since then?
Yeah, no, I ain't make no. I mean, I add shit to a playlist if I hear something. But see, the playlist is the past. You know what I'm saying? This ain't got no, I ain't trying to discover no new shit. I'm trying to muster up the best of the past, you know what I'm saying, to bring the energy that everybody know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes people don't even know some of the stuff, but you know it. So, and it makes sense for the whole shit. And I've done it over and over and over, so it's not new. So, my playlist, like, before Thanksgiving, like, during the early parts of Thanksgiving, I can put on, like, a nice little, you know what I'm saying, cool R&B set. You know what I'm saying? Cool, a little sick. You know what I'm saying? Not, I don't get into the holidays till after dinner. Then after the holiday, after the dinner, you just put on the Black Christmas list. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In my mind. You know what I'm saying? They be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a brown liquor Christmas list. It ain't Mariah Carey and none of that shit. That shit is motherfucking Al Van, Santa Claus is a Black Man type list. Santa Claus is a black man. You know what I'm saying? James Brown, go straight to the ghetto. To the ghetto. You know what I mean? Shit like that. And even when people don't know it, they know the vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And,
right.
you know, it is a trip because people just be saying shit like that. But it's for real. You know the vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, even broad. I was just more so even broader than just that. When you
I do for myself. Again, I got my funk playlist. Right. I got some hip hop playlists from different eras, but I be adding to it as I go because I don't be remembering every single thing. Then you hear, oh shit, that can go right here. So I don't. Right. I'm not a playlister. That's why I like Spotify because they got good DJ.
Right.
Like you put something on, they just continue on and be like, okay, that's what these niggas doing. All right, when we get here, we're like, oh shit, that's dope. Let me add that. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not general playlister and let me DJ the function. It's just certain little times. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Okay. All right, bad. That's what it is. I put together a little playlist every so often. If I get inspired, you know what I mean? And then there's standing playlist that I just add to, similar to what you talking about. Yeah, I got the, some of the, I guess the catch-all playlist, the never-ending aggregate, you know what I mean? And then I might be inspired by a record. And back to what the vibe of that record is, like, okay, this puts me in the mind of this. So let me get some records that kind of complement that whole situation and build some context around it. You know what I mean? And it might some of these playlists are ephemeral. Like, that shit might hit just in that moment. But then when I go back to it, I'm kind of like, it's I don't want to say it's disposable, but I'm done with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. I often do, too. What I'll do is, instead of, like, just a real, actual, formal playlist, sometimes I just do a play next. You know what I'm saying? A play next. I find myself going on a play next. I do a play next when it's, it could be anything. If I'm about to start writing, if I know I'm about to write for an hour or two, I might just, you know, like, when I like to write, I'll throw some instrumental shit on. But, like, if I'm cleaning or something like that, or if I'm on some exploratory shit, that's something else I'll do. Like, on a Friday when the new music drop, I'll go through all of the new people and see some people I've heard. You know what I mean? I've heard their name, but I've never really heard their music. So I might just go through their new shit and take a record that sounds interesting.
Right.
Add that shit to the list. And as I'm moving about, if it strikes me, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll revisit. I found this one girl. I forget her name. Damn, I wish I could remember her name. But yeah, I came across her. I got to double back. But you know, sometimes you'll find somebody new out of there. You know what I mean? Or
that's a good technique.
Like I don't put as much. I do it in a leisurely way now, but I still like to be on my music discovery shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I still like that. Back in the days, I think I used to put pressure on myself, one, because we worked in music in various capacities, so it felt as though that was part of the job, just to stay abreast of what was going on for many reasons. But then I was just like, I kind of like just, you know, knowing what's new coming out, and if I fuck with it, I fuck with it. Some of the shit I can't get into it, and I've said this before, I will not force myself to get into some shit that's just not for me. You know what I mean? I'm cool with saying, yeah, that ain't for me. You know what I mean? I listened, I heard it. I respect whatever motion it's got in the world, but that, I'm cool on it. I don't need to do that. I could take that off the playlist. But
I discovered some shit last night. Just on, you know, fucking around, scrolling on Instagram. It wasn't a real discovery, but it took me in the route of discovery. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it was like a meme type of video where it was like, POV, y'all finding Southern gangster music for the first time. And there's like an old video of like Monica just vibing, just a little bop of old video, like early 2000s looking video. And at first, I didn't even know that was her until I looked in the comments, because I'm like, damn, what the fuck song is that? And then, so I'm looking for the, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking for somebody to drop the name of the song. And then it turns out that he had, in the caption, he already said that the song was called Block Walking Whitney. And it was just a hook and a cool-ass beat that was just bopping. Mm-hmm. And then it's by somebody named Los Kimmett, and it's unreleased, so it's not out there. So, you know, when you start looking for it, it's not out there. So I just screen recorded it just so I could remember it, you know what I'm saying? And I just played it in my ears. I'm like, man, that shit is it. You know what I'm saying? It make you want to go find more shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a hook, but it's cool. It sounds like some old down south Texas, you know what I'm saying, chopping blades and swanging and shit type music.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to keep an eye to see if it come out, but it might almost be a disappointment when it come out if the nigga don't rap right. You know what I'm saying? But then, I went to his page. I see what he on. He on some, you know what I mean? He on his little own vibe. And it was just a nigga I never heard of. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now I've heard of him. You know what I'm saying? So, but like you said, all these years, nigga been digging crates. Since a fucking youth. You know what I'm saying? Like, people underestimate the back in the days when hip-hop wasn't mainstream. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's some old side shit that niggas thought was going to go away, disappear. So you weren't just going to hear that shit on the radio. You might hear 5-6 songs. But you had to go find that, go to the flea market, dig through the crates. Look at, oh, I like the way this label look. Hey, can you play this? You know what I'm saying? And that's how you started to learn shit. And that's just how it was. But then the internet and streamers, they take a lot of the discovery out of shit. Like, just the way everything goes. Like, that's why I was saying I used to go to Barnes & Noble all the time, because you could just pick something up and just discover. The internet, it's hard to discover if you don't know where you're going. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put something in Google to get something back. You know what I mean? You might go to a website and discover what they got on there, but it's just hard to just strictly discover. Like going to the library, picking up a book, and be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Pick up a book, hear a name, go to the Dewey Decimal System and all that. Oh, shit. Like, man, that shit don't exist no more.
I guess I don't even think that happens. The Dewey Decimal System. That's funny with the little tiny drawers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Them long little drawers. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My mama taught me how to do that shit. I was young. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So she ain't give me shit else, but she taught me how to research. You know what I'm saying? How to find what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in that motherfucker, pull out them little cards. Okay. 4.2222. Oh shit! It's gonna be in next section.
right. Yeah. You feel like the FBI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They still. You know what? They. I don't know if they got the Dewey Decimal System, but when you go to the library, they definitely still got the 4.2. You know, L 4.2664. Right. You're right. Like, okay, all right. Well, this is such. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Speaking of that, related to what you were talking about, The Power of Joy. I'm reading this Dr. Roof book called The Joy of Connections.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about, you know, about people being deliberate about making connections. You know what I'm saying? Because this there's a loneliness epidemic out
there. I mean, it's new. You know what I mean? Dr. Roof still around?
Dr. Roof died like maybe a couple months ago. You know, she used to live right up the block from me.
Oh, no. Well, I know she was in
her. Yeah. I ain't never seen her before, but there's a little park.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a little park. It's a nice park by me. And she got a little placard that says Dr. Roof's Tulips. Which, you know, the immature nigga in me. Like, you know, she was sex there. That Dr. Tulips. Yeah, anyway.
Tulips.
Exactly. But, she died a couple months ago. But this was her last book she put out, The Joy of Connections. And this is, I just cracked it open. I actually meant to take it when I went down to Georgia. But I left it on the couch, so I'm about to get back to it. But this is pretty good. She's assertive. You know, you could even feel the assertiveness in her writing. Like, you know, shout out to the short folks. You know what I'm saying? But like sometimes, like I don't know if they just more assertive, they feel more assertive because they short. So you might feel like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, fuck all this gravitas. But, like, I do feel like sometimes, and she talk about it, you know, she's like 4'7". You know what I'm saying? So I think she had to really, like, you know, assert herself in the world. Like, really, like, you know, like, yo, yo, look down. It's me. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I need you to do this, this, and this. Yo. Speaking of discovery, this wasn't really no discovery, but you was the one that sent it to me. I was driving back from Pennsylvania. Quick shout out to everybody that came out to the Pottstown show. We had a blast in there, and the people that came out to the Rockville Center show, that shit was fire too. That sold out, so it was a good time. We had fun out there, both shows. But I'm coming back from the PA show, and I'm like in the sticks. You know what I'm saying? One of these little back roads and shit like that. And I get a text from Ali Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? I got the car play on and shit. So I got listen to the shit, and it says, Kendrick Lamar, GNX. What is it? You know what I mean? And I'm at the part of the drive where I got like a good 3 hours to go. So this
you're in prime position.
I'm in prime position. I pull over to the shoulder. Like, what's this? I'm thinking this is a single or something. I say, wait a fucking minute. Nigga, this is a full album? Nigga. Man, that shit was the look. That shit right there, man.
Hey, when you say that man. Shit about being in that shit, you live for moments like that. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
You don't never know when you're going to get them, but you live to be able to put a nigga on to some shit that a nigga going to be happy about.
Nigga, that shit was that shit was like throwing a fucking bomb from one side of the field, catch a nigga in stride. Nigga, I caught that shit and went straight to the motherfucking end zone. That shit made my trip. That shit was, man, it was a beautiful thing, dog.
Hey, man, shout out to Amir Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? It helps to have a son in A&R because that shit was early. That shit was early before the. Because when I got it, I looked it up to see if, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even click it. Uh-huh. I looked it. I went on Twitter first to see if niggas was talking about it yet. I'm like, oh, that ain't nobody said nothing. I clicked it. I'm like, oh, shit, this is a whole album. And I just forwarded that shit.
Yeah, nigga, and I forwarded it to a few motherfuckers, too, because, it felt good to just bless motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Wow. Niggas like, oh, shit, wait a minute. Yeah, man, it was one of them. So, I got to listen to the GNX. Mm-hmm. I ain't know what the fuck it was at first. You know what I mean? I heard him saying the Grand National. I finally understood a little later on, okay, it's the Grand National. It's funny because I used to hear about a lot of people that particularly buy like old schools, like the Grand National is very much, you know, like sought after. One time I seen a Grand National, you know, I still dabble in the Hot Wheels shit every so often just to do it. It was like one of them little 5-packs and a Grand National was in there with a couple other things. And I don't know why I didn't pull a trigger on it. I never really buy a 5-pack. I typically do the singles, but something, I don't know. I kind of regret that. But anyway, That shit was good, man. It felt like to me, it felt like he had to get some shit off his chest. Mm-hmm. Felt like that. It felt like a very West Coast ass album. Mm-hmm. Not even, I mean, sonically too, but yeah, definitely even sonically after I listened to it a few times, but more so like the shit he was talking about. The features that he had, like these people that you probably didn't know. I mean, he had my man AZ Chike, I think that's how he pronounced his name, who I fucked with off of the Schoolboy Q album, which I do feel like that shit got snubbed. That shit should have been nominated for a Grammy. Blue Lips was one of the better projects of the year. But anyway, man, shit was good, man. Kendrick was back. And, I want to know what you think about it. You know, let's discuss.
Well, how you feeling? I didn't give it a whole investigative approach to listen. Okay. I've listened to the whole thing. I was just played it. I played it in the car. You know what I'm saying? On the way back from a meeting, so I was kind of not in it. Mm-hmm. I would just let it rock. And then you know, it's unlike a lot of other Kendrick albums. Mm-hmm. Sonically, And the way it was produced, it wasn't produced for you to drag you into what he's saying per se. You know what I'm saying? Because the nigga always got a lot to say. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in a lot of his albums, it'd be produced such that it ain't about, like, this a beat for the club, so dig into what I'm talking about. And I got a little, some sound effects and all these different effects on voices and these voices coming in, that one coming out. It wasn't like that. You know what I'm saying? That's what usually expect from a Kendrick album. This was like some records, you know what I'm saying? With some bop, you know what I'm saying? We could play some of these in the club, some of these for the radio. It was, you know what I'm saying? But he was saying a lot of shit, you know what I mean? But like you said, when I first listened to some shit, I usually get stuck on a song or two, you know what I'm saying? And I can't even tell you what the name of this song is, but it was just very West Coast, you know what I'm saying? The song where he talk about was shit, you can't even talk about this shit if you don't go below the 10 in L.A. I'm like,
Dodger Blue.
I'm like, Dodger Blue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he repped that shit so hard, I got stuck right there, you know what I'm saying? So I ain't investigate the whole album yet, because this is my process. I don't like to go, I like to stick to the shit I like, and then I get other shit a chance, you know what I'm saying? That Dodger Blue was cool because I was riding, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was sitting somewhere, like, trying to figure this shit out. I was just riding. I needed something that was going to attribute to my ride, that contribute to it. You know what I'm saying? I was off a powerful meeting, so I'm like, shit. But that Dodger Blue came in handy, you know what I'm saying? And then we just had Cube in the studio talking about repping the Dodgers, you know what I'm saying, and all that. So I was like, okay, these niggas on some West Coast shit. You know what I mean? That's the point of hip-hop. You want people to be about they shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all that old Any Hood USA ass shit, I was like, yeah, nigga, I want to know about your shit.
Absolutely. We just talked about this last week. Yeah. Nah, for sure. It felt like the audio version of that pop out energy. You know, when he had the Kendrick Lamar, you know, presents the pop out, and it felt real West Coast. Like, if you know, like, you could watch it as a spectator and understand that the energy is there and feel a little bit of it, but you don't understand a lot of it. I felt like this was definitely that. I felt like, well, first listen, I was like, it's probably my least favorite Kendrick Lamar project, but that's just on the first listen. And that it wasn't even in a way that it was a bad project. It was just that, to your point, you know, most of the Kendrick Lamar stuff is often like there's a theme to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It unfolds, and immediately you kind of, you know, you're put in a zone. You know what I'm saying? You know exactly what this is going to be, blah, blah, blah. This one, like I said, it felt like he had to get some shit off his chest. It was super. It was like decidedly West Coast. Mm-hmm. Then I started to hear later on that this might just be a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Like, this might just be a mixtape. And there's, you know, all types of little... You know, nowadays, you got the dissection community. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, between the Dissect Podcast, Genius, and various other, you know, YouTubers, TikTokers, Instagrammers that, like, they're like these, you know, these pundits of the bars. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I'm kind of like, I don't engage with a lot of them. Oftentimes because I think, oftentimes they be reaching, reaching, Plastic Man. But often it's just like, it just came out 2 hours ago, and here, you know, if you did 11 things you missed, and this is that, and whatever, whatever. But one of the things that definitely made sense to me immediately when they pointed it out, and I kind of thought it was cool, but I didn't even think about this. You know, he got the Heart Part 6 on there, right? And Drake, when they had that battle, Drake actually tried to co-opt the Heart. That's Kendrick's, like, series, you know what I mean? And typically, he puts that shit out as a standalone track right before he puts the real album out. So for this shit to be on an album, it was like, wait a minute now, is this the real album? And then a lot of other people, like a lot of these, you know, some of his cohorts or whatever people he worked with are kind of like hinting around. Oh, you know, I couldn't think of another.
That's bullshit, man. You put it out, man. It's an album, man. Stop it.
Well, you know, and it's funny because one of the cats, and I forget my man's name, this black cat who sounds like he might be from England or something like that. He one of the few cats that I really fuck with, right? Because he just seemed like he's into it. But he made the point, because you see, you know, Doechii's album, right? Alligator Bites Don't Heal, something like that. Okay, so Doechii's album, which sounds like an album, is a mixtape, right? So he made the point, he was like, you know, it's funny that's the mixtape, that's an album, and this is the album, that's the mixtape. Like, it was kind of slick, Lou. You know, sometimes I got to give motherfuckers credit where they got a take that I'm like, ooh, okay, young man.
Man, but what the fuck is the fucking motherfucking difference, man? Shit, it's 15 songs, man, strung together. I know, I mean, you might not want to place it in there with the album as far as how much you thought about it and produced it and all the typical Kendrick shit, but you didn't say, okay, the mixtape drops, or this is GNX the mixtape. That shit had an album cover. You ain't got DJ Drama hosting that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Right. This shit is an album, man. Stop it.
I hear what you're saying. You ain't just rapping on other Lucius niggas'
beats.
Lion.
You ain't rapping on other niggas' beats. You got some original shit. You got Mustard doing all the tracks. If it was a mixtape, you just should have said it was a mixtape.
I agree. I understand what you're saying. I think it's a generational thing too. And I think it's a way to head shit. Kendrick don't need to do that for sure. And I didn't read it yet, but shout out to Fraser Tharp. I think he just put out a piece talking about there don't need to be another Kendrick project to come out. Cause sometimes when you do put the little, like, some people are like, what if he gonna drop another shit next week? Gonna drop the real album next week. You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. Sometimes that shit could step on the project and make it, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and it also looks like, my thing is, I'm with you on that whole mixtape. You know, sometimes people just use the word project, project, mixtape, album. All of that shit is like, it feels like you hedging. You're not standing all the way behind it. Especially, you standing in front of the painting with your paintbrush, and every so often you throw another motherfucker, you know? So, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, when you own a motherfucking label, you got a label behind you, you got a system behind you, it don't even, mixtape shouldn't even come into your vernacular if you still running it through the system. Like, when you talk about a nigga like Fab, okay, he on a label, on a system, he drop a mixtape, they ain't behind that shit. They actually pretty mad, nigga. When you gonna turn in the fucking album, nigga? You keep dropping all these mixtapes. Right. So right. It kind of steps on the culture of mixtapeness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, mixtape is kind of counter your establishment. Like, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna do my thing and let y'all see how I feel. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like right. Wayne doing all the mixtapes with the Squad Up and all that shit. It's a different shit than I'm gonna go do my album where I'm gonna get it all produced. I'm not just gonna jack beats. I'm gonna make a full project.
It's corporate.
Yeah, it's
a corporate mixtape.
Right.
Yeah.
So this shit right here is like for your team to be, it's already out there, it's doing good, everybody already fuck with it, then to come back, you know that's just a mixtape. Man, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I get it. I'm with you. I totally agree with everything you just said. But I've seen, it's been a trend that's been going on for quite a few years now with a lot of these artists that they, you know what I mean? Like, these are all just heat checks. And it's kind of whack, though, because it makes me look at your cat. Like, I don't even know how to judge your catalog.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, is this way the same as this over here? Like, you know, it's presented on the same streaming platform. To your point, like, if it's a mixtape, I shouldn't be able to find that
right,
shit.
That shit need
it
to be
should
on
be
YouTube.
Like your man. Yeah, what's your man? Los Santos?
Yeah.
What's your man? You just said, yeah, Los, yeah.
Los,
it should be some
Los,
shit.
Los Kemet.
Shout out to Los Kemet. I just looked at this thing. But yeah, you know, like, something that you can't find. It's not available. You got to go to Canal Street. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going way back with it. Yeah, it shouldn't be on the same platform as your, you know, present it just like you would present an album, because it is confusing.
Right.
To a certain again, I guess a certain generation, because some of these kids is like, man, fuck all that. It is what it is. Because I think on another level too, and it don't really apply for somebody as established as Kendrick Lamar, but you know, we're in the content era. You know, we're in the streaming era where, first of all, they're not making much money off of streaming. Most artists are not making most money off of streaming. So it becomes, and it even extends to like comedy where you see a bunch of crowd work clips and things like that. It becomes, the content is really just an elevated flyer. Mm-hmm. It's just to show, yo, I'm active out here. Come see me on the road. Buy a ticket. But yeah, here's proof of my work. Here's a little proof of concept just to let you know. You know what I mean? Here's another album. You know, I've seen quite a few artists that'll put 3-4 albums out in a year. Yeah, that's unprecedented. I remember when DMX put 2 albums out in 1 year. It was like, this is, motherfuckers about to give him a Nobel Prize for this shit.
Yeah, but you know, they was all trying to keep up with No Limit.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. That was, Master P was the first, yeah, No Limit was the first, them motherfuckers, and they had all of the albums that was going to come out when you opened the motherfucking, the billfold, right. Like,
when
damn.
When you get this second album of the year, they got 24 more on the deck, right. On deck.
Exactly. So, yeah, but so there's, I think maybe the business has changed now, so it's like, it's just impressions, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Like when we breaking it all the way down, it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, what's the engagement on your shit? You know what I'm saying? We call it an album, call it a mixtape. Are these niggas clicking on it? Are they streaming it? I bet. yeah, because Dolce got nominated for a Grammy. It's a mixtape. It's like, now whatever. But
that shit probably was a mixtape. I don't know. I don't know her story. I can't even start to speculate. I was about to do some speculation report.
Go ahead.
I
ain't even got the information.
I don't have the information. I don't know if she made that first and then got signed. You see what I'm saying? And then the label probably like, yeah, that, you know, that's out there already, but, you know, we working on your real shit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure if they just picked that up. It was already a mixtape because she ain't had no label, or if that's a project she made and then they just decided to call it that. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of both. She spoke to about that in a way. Like, I think as she was trying to make her, or as she has been working on her debut, there are a bunch of songs. Some are older. Mm-hmm. Some are like, that might not fit the theme or whatever I'm trying to do on the debut, but I like this song. Mm-hmm. So let's put a collection of records together and put it out as a mixtape. But until she said it was a mixtape, I looked at it as an album. You know what I'm saying? It looked like an album. But back to this Kendrick thing. It's funny, certain artists, you know, particularly, I mean, if we're looking at the Kendrick and Drake of it all, right? And I'll say this too. I appreciate both of them in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It seems like some people still feel like if they, you know, like, listening to Kendrick, you can't listen to Drake, and vice versa. It's like, yo, they could coexist. You know what I'm saying? They've coexisted before and still. But, you know, not only was it like such a major rap moment, the battle and all of that, but like, it's interesting like how small this world has gotten and how thirsty for content and impressions everybody is. Because so many people outside of hip hop have, like, within day one, started flipping shit from the Kendrick album. Whether it was the whole mustard, you know, there's that shit, and then the NFL did some shit with, you know what I'm saying, Lamar Jackson looking like he's using the cover to flip it with Lamar Jackson at age does a whole piece on all of the, like, it's just like, everybody, it's like Thanksgiving turkey. Motherfuckers is busting that shit down to the carcass and spreading it around. And it made me think, you know, especially since the game is kind of fucked up as far as the streaming and, you know, the monetary kickback and content is now, we're in this content era. Are we approaching an era where people's memes, there's going to be meme IP, where it's monetization, where shit starts to get filed. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, this was I created that. Yeah,
possibly
feels like it.
All this shit,
especially as the
all this shit turns into business over time. You know what I'm saying? Somebody was on there talking about how you know parents used to, you know, chastise kids about playing video games. Now video game niggas is out here making all these millions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same with hip hop. Like, hip hop was a fucking fad and shit. I've made most of my money in that business. 99% of everything I ever done was in that business. You see what I'm saying? So all this shit grows up, and the people who grew up on it, they taking that with them as they become full ass adults. You don't just shake off that shit you grew up on when you become an adult, and then it's, you just start some new shit. I'm just gonna do some regular shit, Publix, and go home and go to sleep. All that shit's still with you. The music that you gonna feel nostalgic about is the music that's out right now. So all that shit goes somewhere. Don't just end because motherfuckers say it could end. So, yeah, the memes gonna mean something. This shit is building itself. All this shit is new, and it will take itself into the next place. And memes will be part of it because niggas have found joy and found how to communicate certain messages, not just through words, but through taking what you did and making it into something else. That's a whole nother kind of communication. You know what I'm saying? It's like sampling. You know? Sampling, they started charging niggas to sample, but that shit didn't go away. Niggas still sample like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So now the old players, they get to participate in the new game. So we'll see how this shit play out. I don't know how it's going to play out yet. If I knew that, I wouldn't tell you motherfuckers because I'd just go get rich. But
damn.
But I don't know.
We done lost the listener. The listener was like, damn, I thought he was on my side.
If I knew where the millions was at, I'm going to go get me some.
Yeah, true.
You know? So, but I will say, you know, Kendrick bringing all of the West into a place of where people could see them, I think is good. You know what I'm saying? All the other artists, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mustard having a resurgence. Even to like Storm DeBarge, the dancer. You know what I'm saying? I talked about it on here before, but just to see her continue to rock with all his shit, you know what I'm saying? He keep pulling her back in. She gonna be somebody different, you know what I'm saying? By the time they do the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she choreographed the Drake Super Bowl when they was doing all the niggas in the khakis doing the crip walk and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
She choreographed that shit. So for them to keep pulling her in,
yeah,
and for her to continue to enjoy the industry and enjoy the craft, you know what I'm saying? Like, you right. See her, she not changing. She ain't getting too slick. Her dance moves ain't changing. No sophisticated ass, new modern ass shit. That shit is the shit she was doing with Tommy the Clown and them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that shit is inspiring to watch because nobody ain't really tracking that. Everybody tracking Kendrick, but you ain't tracking all these little side people that's benefiting and that's coming up out of the West just based off of the fact that he cracking. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just like before, like you'll go see somebody, they blow up, and then be like, yeah, you know he was in the Denise Williams video dancing background. Be like, oh, shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody don't pay attention to that shit till it's in hindsight. But watching it as it happened is fun. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, it's life in this shit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just corporated out and it's just going sluggishly along, dropping song after song. You start seeing the life and the culture part, and that's exciting. You know what I'm saying? Just to see, like, all right, the nigga named his album Grand National, but all them old Atlanta comedians and all that, all them niggas been rocking Grand Nationals on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Carlos Miller, for sure.
Carlos, what's the other comedian cat that, Desi Banks. Motherfucking, okay. What's the other one? The cat who make all them stories all the time. He started on Facebook. Goddamn. Man, why don't know
them? Oh, Country Wayne.
Country Wayne. All them niggas was been pushing Grand Nationals in their videos the whole ride.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So to see him do it, it validates it. Now everybody want to know what a Grand National is. But you already seen that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And now niggas was with it. That shit, they done, they stock done went up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that shit was expensive from already.
Right.
From what I understand. Because they, yeah. Yeah, man. It's good to see. Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's some good shit to see.
And that's the thing about culture, right? Because mm-hmm. labels do what they do. The companies do what they do. The streamers going to do what they do. But culture, it don't pick no sides. You know what I'm saying? Culture happens anywhere. Like, that shit could happen. Like, Glorilla is out of nowhere, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. she is an anomaly into what's going on, you know? She ain't got the same body as everybody. She ain't doing all this, but she got a different voice. And that shit is just like, oh, shit, who is that? And mm-hmm. now she her own motherfucking thing, regardless of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? She in the whole Lil Booties Matter program. And she acting like, shit, that shit is not a thing. I'm just out here doing my thing. I'm happy. I'm enjoying all these moments. I'm fanning out when I want to fan out. I'm telling my stories of sleeping on air mattresses and shit till I was 15. I'm just out here, man, and I'm having a great time. And that type of shit is the type of shit you fell in love with this shit cause. You know what I'm saying? Where the common different individual can stand out amongst all these manufactured stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It actually validates the shit you going through on the daily. Just like the first time I heard Big Daddy Kane be like, hold up the peace sign, assalamu alaikum. I'm like, oh shit, nigga. Okay. Because nobody know what a Muslim was. You know what I'm saying? In Miami, 1986, uh-huh. nigga. Nobody, man. Maybe in New York or Chicago, uh-huh. some shit like right. that. Miami, nigga, we was a small little community, little bitty community. You know what I'm saying? Niggas thought you was a nigga. Is you Jamaican? Is you Yahweh, nigga? What is you? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Assalamu alaikum. You know what I'm saying? That's how niggas used to do. To Big Daddy mm-hmm. Kane said that shit. They're like, oh shit, you down with shit Kane. Now it's a different type of
Kofi.
Yeah, it's a different kind of respect on your whole shit. Yeah. Niggas understand you a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the culture does. Like when somebody from your piece of the culture comes up, it validates a lot of the shit that you've already been going through. You know what I'm saying? You might have been mm-hmm. walking that walk already. And now people are like, oh shit, that's the walk. You know what right. I'm saying? Then they could be like, oh, my nigga from the hood be on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's like that Boosie, his daughter. I told you, niggas. I told you. Yeah, nah, for sure. That shout out mean a lot.
Know
that
what shout saying?
Out, you know. Yeah, man. Being seen is the first phase of marketing. I hate to say it, but that's the cynical part of the capitalism. They mm-hmm. say, oh, they like that. They like to be seen. All right, bet.
Right.
See what the ROI is on this representation. yeah, man. So I'm enjoying it so far. If he come with another album, I'm gonna check that out too. But you know, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. We'll see what else is going on. What's up with you, man? What else you chop? What's going on with you?
Just working, man, surviving, scratching and surviving, as they would say. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Got some good news, but they ain't ready to announce yet. But I'm feeling good about that. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, come soon. You know what I'm saying? I have more to say on that. So, I'm feeling good about that. Going into the holidays, in and out of the year, I'm glad I'm going to be able to end the year kind of smoothly. You know what I mean? So, I'm happy about that. And 25, man. It's setting up to be, you know, blue skies and, you know what I'm saying, shit, you be walking out of troubled waters. That's how I feel, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about those types of things. I'm excited about these plates, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure, you know, if this alternative menu for Thanksgiving, I understand it because, you know, people get tired of having the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Soul food is heavy and all that type of shit. But that's what Thanksgiving is, man. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't tripping, but I might buy me a little turkey on the side somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Just cause. Not that I'm a fan of. I ain't even really ate much turkey all year, but you know what I'm saying? It's Thanksgiving. It's like you said, the visual, it's the representation of the turkey that makes it okay, this the season. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm excited to be going through it. Gonna probably make a couple stops, gonna kick it with the fam, probably go to movies, do all the shit that you do. But you know, sometimes you want to throw a little bit of that joy back in there that they taking out.
Yeah, there you go. For sure. Enjoy your economy.
Yeah, because it's like, it's the familiar shit. It ain't necessarily that's supposed to be or this the best or whatever. It's just the familiarity of having it to make it like, okay, is it fish? It's like, you know what I mean? Having Thanksgiving alternative menu, the color scheme is going to be white and blue. Be like, that ain't motherfucking Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, you want some earth tones and some orange and some, you know what I'm saying, brown. That's that's Thanksgiving, you know? So,
shit. Warm colors.
Yeah, warm colors. Nobody want to come change Christmas. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to do no Christmas tree this year. We going to do, you know what I'm saying? A punching bag, a pinata with a Santa Claus hat on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Niggas be like, get the fuck out of here. You know. But that's just from a nigga who don't celebrate. So.
Right. But you steeped in the tradition for somebody that's on the sidelines.
That nigga is from America, nigga. I'm an African American at that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's like plantation-based families, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that is steeped in the traditions of the traditional Christmas, you know what I'm saying? But again, I've been around long enough not to be like poo-pooing on the traditions that people already established, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to all the way fully drop into them to understand peripherally and surfacely that shit, niggas is looking forward to something, man. It's been a rough ass fucking year, man. You know what I'm saying? Niggas want to celebrate something, and these are the established celebrations that they give you the motherfucking day off to do. These are established. It ain't like we've been made this shit up, nigga got to go to work, and then we're going to do it after work. They establish. Then they break it off. You ain't got much family. You got Friendsgivings for you niggas. You know what I'm saying? Niggas make shit up just to be a part of some shit.
Just to be in it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you keep saying from a nigga that don't celebrate. You at least a secondhand celebrant.
You know what I'm saying?
You might not bang Thanksgiving. But you participate.
I eat the plate, my nigga, for sure.
For sure. Speaking of...
Yeah, go ahead. It's just like, I ain't, again, I'm not all the way in, but I understand it. I'm there. I'm from Miami, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm from the era when Christmas Day, everybody be in the streets with their new skateboards, bicycles, basketballs, kickballs, red bouncing balls. You know what I'm saying? Just flooded the streets on Christmas Day. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their new shit on. They skates with the bow on it. And you know what I'm saying? Your uncle and auntie pull up. They done bought a new car, got the bow on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, it's that. Because this world don't give you a whole lot to motherfucker celebrate, man, or no time to do it. So you either got to make that shit up or you going to wait for the traditionals. And if you somebody who not in the middle of that tradition or not from that place, that culture, you do look at it and be like, man, these folks having a good ass time. You think them niggas who own the bodega don't understand when you finna spend a bunch of money for Christmas? Shit. You think they closed on Christmas Day? Shit. They gonna be right there. Here go your motherfucking rolling papers. Here go some more beer when you run out. Nigga, it's everything. Whatever you need. I got Christmas hats. I got motherfucking Christmas lights. Nigga, whatever. Because they understand that people look for that kind of stuff. That's all.
There it is. There you go. Well, shit. You told me you finished up Penguin. Let me hear your thoughts.
Damn. What you think? You ain't got no thoughts?
Well, I mean, we could talk. Yeah, we could discuss it. We could discuss the whole situation, this conversation.
Ooh, that felt like a lot.
Nah, man. What's your takeaway, man? How you feel about it?
Man, I'm surprised of the texture and aesthetic of it all and how dark it was, minus the, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, costumes and Batman shit, mask and shit like that, right. Supercars and all that type shit. So I was, you know, surprised at how they told the story. I didn't know much about Penguin, so that was a interesting lead in for me to learn his background and where he's from, you know what I'm saying, and how he moved, and he was a driver and all that, you know what I'm saying. I ain't know much of none of that because I never studied it. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like the way they did his makeup and made him perform with the leg and the foot or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he killed that shit. You know what I mean? Like, you forgot he ain't really look like that, or he ain't really walk like that. You know what I mean? So that was cool. You know what I'm saying? It was interesting that he always had a purple-ass car. That was funny as fuck. Like, this nigga on some hood shit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Purple Maserati.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With gold rims on that bitch. Like, what?
Some young Dro type shit. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That nigga was happy about it. That nigga proud of that shit, too. Nigga.
Hell yeah. He was about to spark the motherfuckers that was trying to take his rims. Hell yeah. He from the hood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Yeah. Hell yeah. Shit. All he wanted was a view and a purple Maserati. Right. Like, niggas know he coming through.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? Shit. And then when you finally do see his inspiration of the nigga Lex or whoever, that nigga mm-hmm. had that gold Cadillac, nigga, with gold rims, gold grill. That nigga was just as gaudy as him.
Right. Yeah. You seen it. That's the culture.
Yeah.
So, that's that Penguin culture. Yeah.
So that was cool. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed, you know, the process of it. And then, you know, it's a weird-ass dynamic to this particular show, because most times you pick a side. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I know he a villain, but that's my nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
This one, you couldn't really pick a side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because one, it was no good guys in it. You know, they weren't like no heroes. And then everybody was a fucking villain, per se. A drug dealer, gangster, whatever the fuck they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you find yourself rooting for them at times. And then you be like, damn, this nigga's a whole lying ass. This nigga ain't got no motherfucking ain't morals. Shit. This nigga absolutely ain't shit. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, not at all.
And then as it unfolds this shit, you be like, this nigga, this is dirty. This is a dirt dog.
Yes.
Nigga, man.
Yes.
This nigga dirt dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of with him at some points. And then it's like, okay, I ain't with him. Then you find out he sent the old girl to Arkham. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, this mm-hmm. nigga just be on some wild shit. This nigga trying to get rid of everybody. Once you got to the part where he killed his brothers, man, you be like, hell nah. You through with the nigga at that point. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, fuck you, Jack. His mama was through with him.
Right. But she laid in the cut, though. That right there is, that's deep.
What?
Because she knew what he did mm-hmm. and still raised him, but, like, kind of hated him as he raised him. Like, this little motherfucker. Like, every morning.
That's mama shit. That's mama shit, though.
That is. But even though, typically, it could be mama shit, but your mama might not play the cards so close. She might every so often tell you about yourself, but let you know, I'm going to love you in spite of all this, but you know you on some bullshit, but she ain't even let him know. So that I also like that scene when this is just how crazy he was with it. Like, he ain't, I think he didn't want to deal with the shame rather than be accountable. I think he just wanted to deal with the shame and own what he did. Because when that moment came when they was about to cut Mom Duke's pinky off, mm-hmm. and all he had to do was just admit to the fact that he had killed his brothers. He was like, look, I don't know what they talking about. Right. I can't look. He'd have done good on first 48, hey, for
nigga,
sure.
It's hard to decommit to a lie, nigga, once you that far. Yeah, yeah, nigga.
Yeah, it's whole life.
You're too far gone. Oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Right. You're too far gone. Right. Man. You gotta go ahead and try. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that let his mama even know even further that he wasn't shit.
Yeah.
And nigga, this nigga, man, he's despicable.
Yeah. He was. But I kind of respected that about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because everybody said it all the way through. Don't trust him. He ain't shit. He gonna lie. That motherfucker is, I'm trying to tell you, do not fuck with him. That motherfucker will listen. And he was manipulating everybody in his eyesight. You know what I'm saying? And so when he, and I saw it happening, I was like, when him and Vic sat down over there by that water, I was like, yo, I think he about to kill Vic. I think he's about to kill this cat. So I wasn't all the way surprised. I was just like, damn, this motherfucker. What did he say? He said, you like family, but you know, family will hold you back. And bust it, just choke this nigga out.
He was not ready for no love, man.
Nah, not at all.
That nigga was not ready for that type of shit. He was like, you got to go, nigga.
Yeah, out of here. Which, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great season. I'm curious. You seen how they threw the little Batman sign up. I'll be honest with you. I could do a whole nother season without Batman. Unless they bring in Batman in a cool way. Because I think that this Batman that they have associated with the Penguin is the Batman series, which I think is like Robert Pattinson. So he like a real like frail looking Batman. I didn't even watch it, but I'd heard it was like a real frail kind of hipster looking Batman. I don't really, you know what I'm saying? I don't need to see all that. But
well, the nigga he done killed all the criminals, so shit.
Yeah, he did. And he got Shorty locked up again.
Yeah.
You know. So we'll see what happens.
Robin will break her out and then it'll be some.
Oh, you think that's Robin?
No. I don't think she Robin. I was just saying somebody like Robin will use her intelligence against him.
I was going to say, do you think that Theo Rossi?
Who was that?
My man, that's the doctor that they started messing with each other.
Julian.
Is that his name, Julian?
Yeah,
could possibly. He be Robin?
Possibly.
Yeah, because he seemed like he could turn into a Robin.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. It just seemed like it's something else to that story that's waiting to unfurl, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have killed her. But, he caught a Rico on her ass and got the fuck out of Dodge.
And I think that at the end when she gets mail from, I forget the lady's name.
The sister.
I believe that woman. Yeah, I believe that's Black Widow. From what I understand. That's what I heard. So, maybe there's going to be some payback.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Her ass despicable too. Shit.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. For sure. She was good. She was fucked up.
She had reason.
Killed the whole family.
God damn.
Yeah. She had reason. For sure.
But
she
had reason.
But still.
You might as well go ahead and kill the little girl too, man. You know, she shut her ass to the goddamn home.
Yeah, cause she basically did what they did to her, to the little girl.
Right.
And the little girl ain't do shit, but just
be a little
girl. Around. Yeah. Should have just no loose end. Sorry, little one, you gotta go too.
You got parents. You know what I mean? Bye.
Right. Like, listen, man. But I enjoyed it.
But I enjoyed it too, so shit. Them niggas who was talking about it, they ain't know what the fuck they was talking about.
Oh, man.
They too young.
Damn. Hilarious. Well, shit, man. You got anything else you want to talk about? Or we could transform it.
That's it, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad everybody stayed stuck with us, you know what I'm saying? And kicked it with us, you know what I mean? Happy holidays, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Hopefully everybody got the food and the menu that they want. And, you know what I'm saying? That the joy that they deserve. Celebrate the end of this regular ass 2024 for a lot of people, not for everybody. Now it's a good year for some people.
True.
It's raggedy for others, but it's a good year for some. But anyway, I hope everybody get to the joy that they deserve, you know what I'm saying, and to cruise on out of this 24 in grand fashion and show up in 25 as your best self. That's what I hope for everybody out there. Appreciate y'all.
It is. That's a hell of a benediction. And I'm just going to say tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Hey.
Conversation.